welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to getting right back into a pretty good subject that we had from last week, talking about fitting into the world, mindlessly not even recognizing that our attitudes and the way of our thinking is right in line with the world. And as long as we're of the flesh in the world, as long as what's real to us is the flesh in the world, then the things of the spirit, like a balance scale, will be off. We'll find ourselves really struggling to have prayers answered when prayers should be a normal experience of hanging out with somebody that wants to bless your life and help you in everything you do. So let's just jump back into Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27 to 30 in the Message Bible that says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Well, every time we use that, we have to just comment and say, what an invitation. Is it possible that this actually could be true in your life? And if it was, would your life actually look like Jesus in the way that you relate to the Father God, the way that you allow Jesus to continue his high priestly ministry in your life, the way that you work with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus did, where it seems like there's nothing of this world that can conquer you, and yet you actually walk above the crisis, the circumstance of life, with such great victory? Overcoming ability. I know that just sounds kind of like, well, that's a little bit too good to be true, but I'll just take every once in a while something good to happen. Do you know folks live that way all the time? They get so depressed about their Christianity and the lack of seeing God do anything in their life that they pretty much just live like everybody else in the world. They accept the bad constantly, the good, bad, and the ugly. As long as every once in a while they can have something good, they'll put up with the bad and the ugly. When we were never meant to put up with the bad and the ugly. Yes, weapons would be formed against us, but they would not prosper. Yes, tongues would rise against us, but those tongues would be silenced, for we are the righteousness of the Lord, and God is working for us. Come on, we are not supposed to have to go through life the same way everybody else does. In fact, when Jesus invites us like that to have a relationship with the Father, what does it say that everywhere in the Bible you see somebody experiencing God, some really, really good things happen to them? Well, I'm coming right back here to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 in the New King James Version, where it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Well, as we said last week, I know that you want to do that. I mean, there's areas in my life of weakness. I want that stopped. But you know what? My area of weakness has not been overcome by my weakness. It's called changing the way I see it so that grace can begin to fill me and work through me to overcome. And that's why the next part says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," which is the attitude of your mind. And then he goes on to say, "Put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And I know, this sounds a little bit like Paul's dilemma in Romans 7. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And so if you take a scripture like that and then put yourself into it to come up with all the answers, you'll be struggling right again. And you'll find yourself failing time in and time out. And you'll be frustrated. Frustration is always a sign of the law. So if you want to get out of that frustration, we've got to change the way we see things. Our paradigm has to shift so that when you begin to acknowledge that which is of God, grace is able to take over. You know, there is ability from heaven to take over and change your life. Amen. Come on, it's just about seeing things. Here's a grace story. I was in a church and here we are ministering, and I walked by down the aisle, and here I walked by this lady, and didn't even think about it from the pulpit. But when I got close to her, I saw there was a cane on the floor. And when she saw me look, she took her foot and she pushed it underneath her chair as if to say, I didn't want you to see that. So I walked right by her, letting her think I didn't see it. And then I backtracked and whispered into her ear, I saw that. And that will be mine before the service is over. And you could see the look on her face. Her eyes got real big. And she's like, I was caught, you know. Oh, when the time came, I walked right up to her and I said, now give me that cane. And I threw it up on the platform and I said, now stand up. Now, I didn't know how bad off she was. It took her about 30 minutes to get into the church building. I mean, it took her a while. The people that brought her would always go at least 30 minutes early just to try to get there because it took her so long to get out of the house and into the car, so long to get out of the car and into the church. She struggled and rocked and rocked and rocked, and finally she got up. And when she got up, I said, well, good, step out here in the aisle. It's time to walk like a normal person. And I was just enough distance away where she couldn't, you know, hit me. And I said, now walk. God is all over you. Walk. And she began to get effort and tried to. And I said, whoa, stop. I said, I didn't say put all your effort into it. If you could have done it, you'd have done it a long time ago. I said, I'm talking not about effort. I'm talking about trust. Well, you could see she was about ready to knock me right in my nose, but I was far enough away she couldn't do it. But I've never seen such a change instantly. Well, I've seen some that are like this, but this was very, very good. All of a sudden, she straightened up like that, and she had a look on her face like, all right, then I'll just trust him. And she took off walking, walked right past me, walked around the whole church, walked around again, and she walked like she'd never had a problem in her whole entire life. That night, the couple got there 30 minutes early. She was at the street corner in her sneakers, jumped into the car, and they got there so early. Why? Because she was so healed. Now, what took place? A change happened in the way that she saw herself, and I provoked that. And the grace of God was there to take her over into an experience. She couldn't have gotten it on her own, folks. But she received it because she changed the way that she thought. Come on, it's going right in line with what we're talking about. So let me share these couple of thoughts with you. Attitudes have been manipulated for thousands of years. If you think the way people do life today is the way that God intended it, we are sadly mistaken. I mean, you got to go back to Genesis and you got to look into the way that God created the earth and the few verses that we have that give us information as to how God and Adam spent time together. Even the church world today, making it look like it's difficult to spend time with God and be careful about having an experience with God, you could get a devil. Well, that comes directly from the devil himself. No one would really benefit from that. On the spiritual side with God, the only one that benefits from you being afraid to actually have an experience with God is the devil, because he knows when you see reality for reality, as it really is. Do you realize when we're all in heaven, we will have an experience? Isaiah chapter 14 talks about this, that we'll look upon Satan and we will say with our mouths, is this what caused nations to tremble and brought men to their knees? In other words, we will have an epiphany and realize, oh my goodness, Satan and all that he was never big enough to actually give me a stubbed toe, and I let him defeat me with cancer and pull me to my grave. I let him tear me away from my family and from my marriage. I let him bombard my mind with, I can never be good enough, and I never had enough finances. I barely got along. And you'll be pretty ticked to realize who you are in Christ, this God-man and God-woman in Christ, and see the devil as a little tiny devil messed up because Jesus defeated him, realizing I never should have bought into anything he said. And that's the manipulated attitudes of the world that are so prevalent today that we don't even think twice. Now listen very carefully. If everybody seems to be going that way and you seem in your heart like you want to go this way, the more you go against the crowd, the more the crowd will convince you you're going the wrong way. And you will definitely have thoughts like, well, maybe this isn't the right way, because I mean, everybody wouldn't be wrong. And all of a sudden, what you have is a new reality that is not God's reality. It's a false reality. and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is the reality of God. And if you're going with the reality of the world, even if the whole church is going that way, well, brother, you need to use wisdom today and go to the doctors, and then we'll believe God. Well, how asinine is that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Now, if you have no confidence in God to be your healer, then I guess that makes sense because we're of the flesh and of the world. But godly wisdom puts to shame the wisdom of the world. And godly wisdom would say, do you not realize the healer, the great physician, is living inside of your body, and he has brought with him his medical bag, and the Holy Ghost is the prescription and the medicine for your body to heal you and set you free? Maybe you're not as sick as you think. Maybe you're more healed than you know. And that woman couldn't walk with her energy, but when I got her to trust God, she took off walking like she'd never been sick a day in her life, and she was not an invalid and didn't have a problem walking. And what was it? She tapped into the ability of God. So what was the wisdom of, well, Jim, be careful. You shouldn't get her to walk because she might fall and hurt herself worse, and then you're in a lawsuit. Well, I guess if we believe our God's about 2 inches tall and the devil's 1,000 feet high and he's got more power than we did, you can see I'm stirred up a little bit because this is the attitude that's in the earth and it's gotten into the church. And we've become so prey to the attitudes of the flesh and the world and the law that we're swimming in this kind of discombobulated distraction and mess and missing God, and he's staring us in the face. Think about this. You want to get into the game, do you or do you not? Now, this is going to be right in our face for all of us. Do you want to work here or not? If you were the employer, wouldn't you say that to some little kid that seemed to have an attitude like you owe me to have this job, but I don't really want to work this job? Wouldn't you pull him aside and say, son, you've got a good job and I'm paying you some good money? Let me ask you, do you really want this job? Do you know there's people that do want it? I need you to either make the decision to get in or get out. Do you do a good deed once in a while or all the time? Here, let me get that for you. Let me get that door for you. I know just yesterday, there was a lady walking out of the post office and she was walking with a cane. And I waited and waited and waited until she got there. And she said, that is so nice. Thank you so much. You're a gentleman. It almost seemed like maybe she hadn't been around a gentleman for a very long time. So you do that once or do you do that all the time? I do it all the time. I'll be walking into the door and I'll see a lady coming and I will stop and wait for her to come. Yes, I could have opened it. I could have walked in and I could have justly said I'm way in front of her, but I'll stop. I'll wait. I'll open the door for her. I'll let her be first in line instead of me. Why? Because that's just the right thing to do. Come on. Do we do it every once in a while or do we do it all the time? Why are you late for practice? Do you not care enough? Well, I was, and then we have an excuse. That's the way the world does. Are you all in or are you not all in? And these attitudes have gotten into the church, and these are some of the reasons why our prayers are ineffective. No conviction. Are you yes or are you no? Are you in or are you out? Do you believe or do you doubt? Are you healed or are you not healed? Do you tithe or do you not tithe? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And on we go. And this is how Paul actually, after he filled the church with the knowledge of who you are connected to, and the reason why you're an overcomer, then the next few verses, next few chapters, Paul would backseat drive people to death. I mean, I'm telling you, he would harass the leaders and the Christians about the mentality of the world. Why are you going back into the world's way, the flesh? Why are you going back into the law? Did you not understand that you were set free by the power of God through your faith in just letting God's grace work for you? So why will you nullify the grace of God and go back to your own ability? Go back into the law. Go back into the flesh. Paul, backseat driver. Doing what? Giving people a difficult time because it's a simple choice, one step after another, to let grace begin to lead you until you are so swallowed up in grace instead of so swallowed up in the world, you begin to see the wonderful work of God in your life. Paul, yes, he gave updates and he gave improvements, especially to leaders. He would talk about what? Involvement in conformity to the world. Jesus specifically said in John 16:33 in the Amplified, I have told you these things that so in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In what? In the doctor first and then believe God? No, in me. Are you against a doctor? Listen, if you just ask that question, then you probably better go to one. Because if you're going to believe God, it's because you actually know that you will actually have a result. And you don't need a doctor. If you're questioning whether or not it's going to work or not, then it's obvious that you don't really believe God like you may think you do. So go to the doctor. I'm not against them. They're helping people. I'm just saying that there is a change coming where people are going to see that we can trust God again first and foremost and don't have to go to the world to try to get our answers. Our time is just running so quickly. But Jesus went on to say, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. But be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. In other words, don't be moved, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. See, whether we like it or not, to the degree that pain, sickness, trouble, drama, habits, and lack of peace still exist in our life is the degree that you are not making progress toward God. When you're making progress toward the Prince of Peace, you begin to have peace. When you're making progress towards the great physician, you have healing. When you can see what I'm talking about. Really, if you think about it, the evidence of our progress comes down as attributed mostly to the fruit that's in your life. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. How much of the world are you still needing? Is the Bible the only source of information about God? Is the only testimony you have to quote scripture in order to stay in a discussion towards God? Or do you have testimonies one after the other that prove that Jesus is real and you really do have a tangible relationship with him? The number one thing that I desire when I listen to Brother Hagin, and when I knew him for all those 17 years, was he could stand up and say, I can tell you story after story after story in just this one area until the sun comes up in the morning and not exhaust all of them. What is he telling you? He had an experience with God. He knew his father, which was not he knew about him. He experienced his father and he had testimony after testimony of letting God be God in his life. Wow. When Paul in Philippians 4, 10, and 11, I'll stop right here. When he said, I've learned in whatever state to be content, he was talking about, I've become independent of the world, of the flesh, and of the law. I've become independent of circumstances where God is my trust. He is my fortress. And I am confident that his supply and the spirit of God within me will work miracles, signs, and wonders all the days of my life. Well, go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and go ahead and follow us or go to the YouTube channel Adventures in Grace and subscribe. We've got about 240 people that are listening. It should be 2,000. It should be 200,000 that are listening because this kind of material will help separate what is and what isn't. And you will find by the simple little choices that grace will overwhelm you and you'll begin to find grace everywhere in your life. Well, you can go to jimhockaday.com, find our email, jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and send us your grace stories. We're waiting to hear from you. God bless you guys. Until next time.